All right, guys, how you doing? This is Alex. I'm coming to you from Athens, Greece, and I want to do a follow-up to the video that we did, me and Alexander discussing the assassination, the murder of Soleimani in Iraq outside of the Baghdad airport. And so let's just jump right into it with a few breaking stories that we have coming out of this event. And the first one is that there was news saying that there was another strike where six people were murdered, a convoy, six Iraqis were murdered, medics, from what I understand, with another U.S. strike. The PMF, the Iraqi PMF forces, have denied that. They have said that there was no strike that killed these medics, this convoy in Tangi in northern Iraq. So that is, for the moment, not true. The U.S. has not initiated a second strike. So discount that. There has not been a follow-up strike. Now, this happened most notably after Trump gave his first comments about what happened to Soleimani. And Trump said in his statement, he looked a little bit agitated. I must admit, first time I've seen Trump look a little agitated. That's just my opinion. But Trump did say he wants no war with Iran. He wants no regime change. And he stated that he did this, that he ordered this strike in order to prevent a war. We'll get back to that. Now, Putin was on a phone call with Macron of France, and they issued a statement. Putin most notably came down hard on it, condemning the strike. The statement via the Kremlin was that this will just aggravate the situation. So that was Putin's stance. Macron also said that he was not finding this very constructive, as did the UK and Britain. They did not condemn the strike and the assassination, but they said this was not a constructive way to move forward. So we have those statements as well coming out of the UK, France, and Russia. China as well has chimed in. And it has said that it does not find this action acceptable as well. So that was China sounding off on what happened the other day to Soleimani. Now, let's get into some of the arguments being made for and against this strike. Now, the first thing I want to say is that this was an act of war. This was not a declaration of war. This was an act of war. The United States knew where Soleimani was. Everyone knew where Soleimani was. He was going to a funeral. This was an announced visit. This wasn't hidden or secretive. This was, whether you like Soleimani or not, this was an Iranian official. This is a diplomat. This was a government official, and he was targeted and killed. So this was an assassination. This is indisputable. They targeted a government official and they killed him. It was an act of war. Does it mean we're going to go to war? Does it mean we're going to have World War III? No, I don't think so. At least not yet, as long as this doesn't escalate. But the action was an assassination. Let's clear that up. You cannot go after a government official like that. The United States cannot target MBS or MBS, his associates or his government officials in Saudi Arabia because they're bad guys. I mean, if those are the rules of the game, then you're looking at absolute chaos. So we need to straighten that out right away and just, you know, put that one to bed. Now, the argument is being made by Pompeo and by various other government officials that are making their rounds on the mainstream media that Soleimani was plotting some sort of attack or something against the United States or U.S. assets in the region. Not in the U.S., in the region. Now, if that's the case and they have some intel, they need to release it. That's simple. Release the intel that you have. Let's see what Soleimani was planning. As of right now, The narrative is that he was arriving in Baghdad, he was greeted by Iraqi officials, and he was going to attend a funeral. That's the story that we have right now. Keep in mind that an Iraqi official was also killed as well, and keep in mind that the Iraqi government did not sanction this strike. So that's another point that we need to clarify. This was not sanctioned by the Iraqi government, and most likely the Iraqi government, most likely Parliament, will ask the United States to leave. Let's see how that plays out. That should happen today or tomorrow, that vote. But if that is the case, that's huge news if the Iraqi government asks the United States to leave. Now, the argument is being made that Soleimani, from 2003 to 2011, was personally responsible for the death of 600, 800, I forget the number, Americans, because he was the one that orchestrated the IEDs and the bombings of American troops in Iraq. We don't know that. We don't. This is the first time I've heard this. If this is the case that Soleimani was the single guy that was doing this, then that also needs to be released, that evidence. This is the first time anyone has heard of the fact that Soleimani was personally responsible for orchestrating the IEDs to American soldiers. Also, let's not forget that it was the United States that invaded Iraq. So this was an invasion by US troops, and Soleimani, like it or not, took advantage of that invasion. That's it. This was war. And the fact that you had American troops in Iraq was something that Soleimani took advantage of. If, and I stress the fact, if he is the person, the single point of contact, that decided to orchestrate these IED bombings. But once again, we got to put stuff in perspective. This is the first time we've heard of Soleimani. I challenge anybody in the comment section to put links to Soleimani dating back from 2003 when Bush invaded Iraq. Maybe there are, but we all have to be honest with ourselves. Soleimani's name never came up from 2003 to 2011. As a matter of fact, Soleimani's name for most people came up about 3-4 days ago. Most people did not know who he was. And all of a sudden, he is more evil than Baghdadi. He is more evil than bin Laden. That's the narrative being pushed. A week ago, no one cared about Soleimani. Now, everyone is saying that the US took out the number one terrorist in the world. Okay. Now, the US Embassy being attacked by protesters that Soleimani was organizing. Maybe. As a matter of fact, probably. Probably Iran had a hand in the protests. I don't doubt that. But it's not the first time, and it won't be the last time, that the US Embassy, anywhere in the world, especially in Iraq, that a US Embassy is going to have protesters outside, and maybe violent protesters. I'll give you an example. In 2007, here in Athens, a rocket was fired onto the US Embassy. Yeah, a rocket. It was by the remnants of the terror organization November 17. That's the story that we get. It was fired on the US Embassy. That was that. There was no missile strikes on Greece. There was no declaration of war. It got very little to no media attention in the West. I'm sure people right now are probably hearing about it for the first time. It was a big story in Greece, but that's a fact. I remember during Clinton's bombing, illegal bombing of Serbia, anywhere upwards of 100,000, maybe even 120,000, 130,000 Greeks ascended on the US Embassy. It was chaos because they were so upset with what Clinton was doing when he was bombing Belgrade. It was massive. It made the protests outside the US Embassy in Baghdad look like kids' play. That was tiny compared to what I was a witness of during those bombings in Serbia. So, let me move down this way. So protests on the embassy is not something new. It's going to happen, especially in hotspots like Iraq. Was Iran behind it? Sure. Is it a reason to take out a government official? No, it's not. Now the contractor that was killed. The argument is that Iran and Soleimani were behind the death of a U.S. contractor, a U.S. mercenary, call them whatever you want. Okay, I'll accept that. Maybe they were. We don't know yet. That's the truth. We haven't been provided with evidence of that either. So, say Iran was behind this. Was it not in 2017? 2017 in Syria, the Azores, I believe it was, where the United States took out, according to US reports, 200 Russian contractors, mercenaries who were part of the Wagner Group or associated with the Wagner Group, Russian nationals, Russian fighters, Russian contractors, 200. I've heard anywhere from 80 to 200. What happened there? Trump announced this. Trump has said it. The mainstream media has said it. There's stories all over the internet that the United States engaged with Russian contractors and mercenaries and killed anywhere upwards of 200 of them. 200, not one. Did we go to war? No. Did Russia declare war? No. Did Russia take out John Bolton? No. Did Russia take out Mike Pompeo? No. We need to put some things in perspective. The death of a contractor or a mercenary in a dangerous and hostile place like Iraq is going to happen. And we don't know who's behind it. Any number of evil forces could be behind the death of that contractor. You still don't take out a government official, no matter how evil that government official is. You can't do it. You have to operate under international law. Okay, so we get into Trump now and why he did this. The story is that Trump walked into a room with Lindsey Graham, Mike Pompeo, O'Brien, Jared Kushner, Esper. And he was given this intel. And he was told that he needs to take out Soleimani because some other strike was imminent against U.S. assets, U.S. forces, U.S. personnel. And so this needed to be done in order to prevent war. Now, Tucker Carlson, in his open last night, said that he sincerely believes Trump does not want war with Iran. I believe that as well. I mean, we pretty, for the most part, I've been a pretty big supporter of Trump and his policies for the most part during the Duran, who's ever followed the Duran. And I think if you support Trump or his America First agenda, you cannot support this strike, because what this strike does is it boxes him in. Now, he was in a room full of neocons, full of neocons. God knows where Jared Kushner's loyalties lie. We know where Mike Pompeo is on all of this stuff. O'Brien, Esper, Graham, these guys are lunatics. And Trump is being advised by these peoples to strike Iran. These guys have wanted to strike Iran forever. Now, you have to be very suspicious when you're finding yourself siding with neocons. Never mind the fact that both left and right are happy about the fact that the U.S. is inching towards war with Iran. Now, here's the scenario that worries me. And I say I don't think the U.S. will go to war with Iran. The first scenario is we still don't have conclusive evidence that this contractor was killed by Iranian forces. We still don't have conclusive evidence that Soleimani was behind the protests at the U.S. Embassy. Now we have just taken out, we have had Trump take out an Iranian official, an Iranian government official. Doesn't matter how high up he is. He's been taken out by the US. They've admitted it. They targeted him when he was, for the most part, on a diplomatic trip. He was attending a funeral as a state official. This is a diplomatic envoy. Now, my mind says this, not trusting the US intel sources, because the US intel sources, they got us into Iraq, Libya, Syria, Haspel, giving fake intelligence about the Skripal case. Just last week, we did a video on the OPCW and the lies that they were telling about the Syria chemical weapons. So for me, when the intel sources are working in conjunction with the neocons, they present Trump this picture, and Trump decides to move forward and kill an Iranian official, it tells me that he's being pushed towards an inescapable, terrible confrontation. What happens when the deep state decides to take out an American official in Iraq and pin the blame on Iran? What happens when the deep state decides to bomb another tanker? What happens if the CIA decides to bomb Aramco, Saudi oil facility, shoot down another American drone? What if the deep state and the CIA and the US intelligence agencies decide to enact a false flag, pin the blame on Iran, and then put the screws to President Trump in order to act? What does Trump do then? Does he take out another Iranian official? Lindsey Graham was talking about bombing oil facilities in Iran. Does he do that? So you see where this is going? You cannot put your trust in the neocons, and you cannot put your trust in these intel sources. I tend to side with Tucker Carlson. I believe that Trump sincerely did not and does not want conflict with Iran. I believe that. Maybe I'm naive. Many commenters have always said that I may be a little naive on these things. Maybe I am. But I also think that the forces are bigger than Trump. The forces pushing for war are bigger than Trump. They're more entrenched than Trump. They're more entrenched than the office of the presidency. They run deeper than the office of the US presidency. And now Trump has boxed himself in. That's my worry. He's boxed himself in because the next false flag that happens in the region and is blamed on Iran, how is Trump going to escalate things further? How is he going to walk away from something like this? This is my worry. So, that's it for me here in Athens. Subscribe to the channel, guys. Help us out. Go to the Durant shop, pick up a t-shirt, pick up a magic mug. Buy an ebook. We have two new ebooks with a foreword by Alexander Mercurius, one on Ukraine Gate, one on Epstein. No one's talking about Ukraine Gate. No one's talking about Epstein. What about the impeachment? No one's talking about that. Remember, there's still an impeachment hanging over Trump's head. He didn't need this distraction. He didn't need this. This was an unforced error. He did not need this. Anyway, that's it from me, guys. So help us out. Donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar. We need your help. Every little bit helps out this channel. Even though a lot of people in the comments said we are Russian sponsored and Russian funded. I'm sorry. Every t-shirt you buy and every donation you make still helps us out, even though we're making tons of money from the Kremlin and from Kremlin paychecks. That's a joke. All right, guys. Take care from Athens, where it is a cold but beautiful day. Take care. Bye-bye.